So, Simon Hughes, you've just come from the inauguration of the Shard. Tell us a bit about today's events at the Shard.
You're right, it was the formal unveiling was the word used, although I don't think quite it was an unveiling. The ceremony was done by the Prime Minister of Qatar and Prince Edward, Duke of York, and in the presence, obviously, of the head of the Qatari Investment Bank, who put up the money, and the boss of Seller Properties, Irving Seller, who's been the developer, and also in the presence of Renzo Piano, who's the Italian architect who designed it. Formally, what happened, there were speeches by those people and by Boris Johnson as Mayor of London. Ken Livingstone was also there. There was then a formal inauguration. They pressed a button. I don't know quite what it did, but presumably it had some function. And then everybody went up to the viewing gallery on the 69th floor, which takes two rapid lifts. You do a lift up to the 32nd floor, I think, and then up again for the 69th floor. I have to say the view was spectacular, as you would imagine. Obviously, it's a beautiful day. There were a couple of things that I'd learnt. 300 people have worked on the design. I think 1,500 people have worked on the building. It has effectively been finished on time, which is great. Obviously, the hotel is agreed to be a tenant. The restaurants have agreed. They're now busy trying to obviously let the other people. Very importantly for me, it may sound a small thing, but at the very beginning, when it was proposed, I said I will support it on one condition, that at the very top, there is a non-commercial space which people can use for meditation or for peace meetings or for summit conferences, but things that are to do with peace and conflict resolution and so on, and not glorifying money and wealth and so on. So the space at the very top is one that can't be bought for money by a private office or a private flat owner to be their space, and they have agreed to do that, and I was very pleased to have that confirmed today. So it's a great tribute to great architecture. It's a great tribute to a partnership between Arabs, between Muslims and Jews, Arabs and British people with links in the Jewish community. It's a great partnership between the local authority and the GLA, and I hope it will forever mean that the borough we both live in, the constituency I represent, will be able easily to be put on the map, because in the future, when people say, where are you, the MP for, or which borough do you live in, we're going to say the borough where the Shard is, and everybody will know where we're meeting.
Now, we put out on Twitter earlier your comment that people in North Southwark and Bermondsey are proud of the Shard, but some of your constituents replied saying that they weren't quite so keen. How do you respond to those Shard sceptics?
Well, as it happens, the son of the developer has just appeared in my sight. Hello. I'm being asked about the Shard.
Right.
The answer is that when the proposal was put before the community, there was no opposition. Amazingly. I mean, I almost know of no other scheme which had no opposition. And that included the businesses, included the residents who lived in Snowsfields and the flats around London Bridge who have lived there all their lives. I have not heard anybody say they don't see it as an opportunity. The great thing that we've got to now do as a community, and James and his dad and his company have been very positive about this, and make sure that as many as possible of the jobs go to local residents, because there are hoped for 12,500 jobs. If that's the case, there are many opportunities for people who live here to have work where they may not have work at the moment. So people can be sceptical, but it's part of a project which will take another 5, 6, 7 years to finish. It's about London Bridge Station being redeveloped. It's about the station working. It's about it being beautiful and not unsafe. It's about the rest of the areas around London Bridge looking as if they are cared for and part of a community. And it's not changing what the south side of London Bridge has always been, which is an edgy place in the sense of pushing out the boundaries, not being part of the establishment. It's not the old city of London, it's not the old city of Westminster. It's Southwark being sort of brash and bold and looking forward. And I think that's a good thing. Now, one last thing. There may be issues during the Olympics to do with travel and London Bridge being so busy. There may be issues in the future, getting right how we manage all the street pattern and the traffic. But those are all things that I think should be capable of being managed. And the really amazing thing is, whilst the development's been going on, James will tell me, for 6 years, there's been very little serious disruption. There's been a bit, but very little. And given the size of the project, the scale of the project, I think that in itself has been a testimony to the developers too. So I hope the sceptics will, as it were, look at the facts rather than worry about what might be or what might have been.